Hi everyone, thank you for joining us. We'll wait just a couple more minutes to allow everyone to join the meeting and then we'll go ahead and get started.
Okay, good evening. It's 6 o'clock, so we're going to get started here. Just make sure everybody can hear. So, Megan, you hear me all right? We'll do a quick sound check there.
Yep, we're good.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm Jeff Haley. I am with the Louisiana Office of Community Development, Disaster Recovery. We are here tonight to discuss our action plan for Hurricane Francine. And want to just take this time right now to just say thank you for being a participant in this citizen participation. We appreciate you taking time out of your evening tonight to join us. I tell you, when we do this virtually, we always have a great attendance. And so while we're not in person, it really gives opportunity for many people throughout many parishes to join. And so just so appreciate your time. Your feedback is always valued. Being able to hopefully tonight, our goal is to not only share information with you about this action plan and the program that the Louisiana Office of Community Development is proposing in it, but to also hear your feedback and understand that as a Louisiana citizen, that is so important. And so let me just start off by sharing a couple of things. You'll notice that throughout the presentation, there is opportunity to be able to ask questions. We have folks that will be typing in answers to you, so you can do that at any time during the presentation, as well as at the end of the presentation when I'm completed. We'll do a Q&A time. And so if you want to just wait to the end, please feel free to do so. Realize that all the comments that are being collected tonight, we are recording this. They will be provided to HUD. They will be in our action plan. And so you will be able to see a physical record of the questions and the answers that we share tonight. Just a little bit about the Louisiana Office of Community Development. If you're not aware of some of the work that we do, this slide, hopefully you've heard some of these terms before, these programs that we've run from Katrina Rita from the Road Home all the way to our Restore program for the floods of 2016 and Hurricanes Laura, Delta, and Ida. As well as you'll see, there are several other initiatives that we do in our office, from buyout and incentive programs with MIT funds that have been provided through HUD, through grant funding, as well as the Louisiana Watershed Initiative. Just a lot of different things that we are doing to make a safer and stronger and more resilient Louisiana is really what our office is tasked and missioned with. Helping homeowners to be able to sort of pick up the pieces after a disaster. Unfortunately, we know all of us that live in Louisiana that we see these far too often, but the goal and the lessons learned over the years have made us stronger and more resilient. And so we are excited about the work that we do. We wish we didn't have to do it, but I think that we're in a good place and we continue to see communities grow and thrive and become more resilient. And that's really what the importance is to remember and to work through as we go through this opportunity. A little bit here about Hurricane Francine allocation. And so what typically takes place is that Congress will appropriate funding for disasters that take place in any given year. Congress appropriated nearly $12 billion for disasters for 23 and 24, those years, for all 50 states. It's HUD's job, which is the Housing Urban Development in the federal government, to then go and allocate those funds. They prorata those among states as they see unmet needs and recovery needs that are required by the states. And for Louisiana, you can see this is a small portion of that $12 billion. $117.9 million is what HUD has allocated for the Francine disaster. On this slide, you'll notice that it's divided into two groups. You have the HUD MIDS, which stands for the most impacted and distressed parishes. And so HUD has determined those parishes that you see as being the parishes in Louisiana that received the largest amount of damage, the most impacted, as well as there were two other parishes, St. Charles and St. James, that had significant damage. We call those the state MIDS. We roll those up into our action plan so that our programs, we can run them for all the parishes, whether a HUD MID or a state MID. And so that's really what this slide is demonstrating to you. A little bit about timeline. You heard me just mention that HUD does an allocation. So after Congress has passed law and made an appropriation, they spend some time doing this unmet needs assessment. They come out and will give an award, which took place at the beginning of this year. So just recently, HUD announced that in January. The next thing that they do is for the state, they have to issue what they call a federal register notice. And that's really giving us guidance and the rules on how we are able to spend this money that they've allocated to Louisiana. During that period of time, the state begins to work on the action plan. That's what we're talking about tonight. So we start also having and engaging with different stakeholders, learning a little bit more about where the impact was, where there are still unmet needs. And we work to put that into an action plan and come up with programs that can meet those unmet needs. Part of that process is doing what we're doing tonight. We have a public comment period, which allows you to hear some of what we're seeing, what the data is showing us, the programs that we anticipate asking HUD approval on, but also giving you opportunity to ask questions and provide comments. And so you'll see later in the presentation how you can do that. If you think of something other than tonight that you want to ask a question on, you'll still have opportunity to provide those public comments. We are anticipating after the public comment period, we will work on providing answers at that point in time. That there are times that we make changes to the action plan as a result of that. We will submit that action plan to HUD. Anticipation is early April. HUD then has 45 days to review the action plan. They can ask the state of Louisiana questions. They can come back with their own comments. But if all goes well, we would anticipate that we would have their approval in May of this year. With that, then the next step is we enter into a grant agreement with HUD. At that point in time, we actually begin to have access to the funds, the $117 million that I mentioned. And we can launch our programs. And so if you'll notice on there, we anticipate that it would be summer before we can officially launch the program. Although I will share with you, you'll see on the slide that our goal is to be as proactive as we can and to begin to start. One of the first things we do in our homeowner program is start with a survey. We do plan to try to administer and execute that survey earlier than this summer. We know the folks that applied to FEMA, where FEMA has indicated that there was major damage to their homes. And so we'll be reaching out directly to you homeowners. And some of you we reached out to already to be on this call. And so you'll continue to get information as time progresses on the status of the program. Next slide's just a little bit to show you how we are budgeting that total allocation that HUD has given us. You'll see that there is a section here for administrative dollars as well as planning. It does cost money to run a program like this and to do the steps and things that are required. There's a small portion of that that's put into the administrative dollars, but you'll notice that the bulk of the money is all being put into housing. As we've looked at the unmet needs assessment, we see that it's great. And we realize that the money that we have probably is not enough to completely make everyone whole and be able to serve everyone. And so what's different in most of our action plans, we're able to typically put money into housing infrastructure and economic revitalization. But you will notice that what we are proposing with this action plan is putting 100% of the funds into housing. Primarily going to the Restore Louisiana Homeowner Program, which is our program that allows us to rebuild and to rehab homes. The flood insurance program and interim housing assistance program, they're both programs that are really tied with the Restore program. They're available to those applicants that are within Restore to help assist with compliance components as well as interim housing while their house may be being rebuilt. A couple of things that's important to note. As I've mentioned a couple of times, you've heard me say HUD or Housing Urban Development. The money that comes from the federal government, it flows through that federal agency, and they have some objectives and priorities that when they write that notice in the Federal Register notice to the states, they initiate some rules and guidance. We always see one of these is that the 70% of those funds must provide funding to those homeowners that are what they call LMI, low to moderate income individuals. And so you can see here on the screen how that's divided up. But the goal is that HUD wants to ensure that priority is given to the LMI population. As well as you see the other big guidance of these funds is that 80% of it must go to those most impacted and distressed parishes, which we saw earlier on the screen was basically almost all of the parishes except for two. So we manage that when we're doing the program, but it is important to realize that those are requirements we must comply with in order to receive this grant. Some basic eligibility requirements for the program. We tried to make this not onerous on you as homeowners, but it is a requirement that a homeowner must be able to demonstrate that they owned and occupied the property at the time of the disaster. The state has worked to verify this, what we call third-party verification, where we attempt to get that verified before you ever even have to apply. So we're not having to try to collect documents. In most parishes, we can rely on the tax assessor rolls that will record who owns the property, as well as if there is a primary residence through a homestead on the property. Then in many, many cases for applicants that apply, there's no need to give anything to the program. We already have that information. Unfortunately, there are times that data may not be all inclusive as we get them from parishes. And so there are times we do have to reach out to homeowners. But I will say, you know, a lot of times I hear homeowners ask, what can I do ahead of time? Well, that's one thing just to have on hand. Make sure you have your home exemption card that you get from the parish and you have that available. You may have a title if you have a MHU, a manufactured housing unit, that you have the title to that. Those are just some things you can begin to collect that would be important for the program. You obviously have to have the damage address must also have shows that it suffers damage from Hurricane Francine. That is one of the reasons you have to apply with FEMA. That's the indication that yes, if FEMA declares that you received major or severe damage, then you would already meet that category as well as being in one of the declared parishes. And so we rely very heavily on FEMA's, what they call their FEMA individual assistance database, where homeowners apply right after a disaster to receive some funding for their damages. Program objectives, I've already shared a little bit that the desire here is to make sure we're compliant with HUD and that we will serve low to moderate income homeowners that are impacted by Hurricane Francine. Those are the priority that they've received a FEMA determination of major severe damage. Doesn't mean that others can't be served, but those are definitely the priorities. You'll see that this slide really helps to spell out what major severe damage is. It is either one of the three things that you're seeing on the screen, that FEMA did an inspection of the home and they declared the damage was $8,000 or more. And you would know that by the amount of funding you've received. It may be that your personal property was damaged at $3,500 or greater, or that there was a foot of flooding on the first floor. Any one of those categories puts you into what we would call major severe. If you're not certain about that, then I want to encourage you, as you see on here, the screen, there is a number to FEMA. That's another thing that you can do ahead of time, is to make that phone call. You have your FEMA registration number. You can ask. If you don't meet that and you feel like you did, then again, I want to encourage you that you would go through that process of appealing with FEMA. It will be very important to be able to participate in this program that you meet one of those requirements. You can see that there's not enough funding, as we've already stated, that's been allocated to Louisiana. And there are a lot of people that apply that FEMA may have only as minor damage. And so if you think that's inaccurate or wrong, then I want to encourage you that you would contact FEMA ahead of time before the program starts. Here, this shares a little bit about the how the homeowner assistance program works. There are three different options that each homeowner can avail themselves to. The first one is what we call our program manage. This program is really designed for that homeowner that has significant amount of damage to their home. They need repairs, but they're really uncertain about sort of what are the next steps? How do I do that? I don't want to go hire a contractor. You may be working out of town or out of the parish and not there to be able to really have oversight. The state does engage and secures contractors that can go in. And when I say contractors, building contractors, to actually do that work. It's kind of a turnkey job. You will go through the process of eligibility, receive an award letter. When you select solution one, you close on that grant agreement. We assign it to one of our contractors who then goes in and starts the repair work. When they're done, there are several things that have to take place, from passing all parish permits as well as getting certificate of occupancy. But we will make the payments to the contractor and the keys are turned over to you. That's our solution one that homeowners can choose. The second solution is what we call homeowner managed. This is where we have homeowners that say, you know, I've already started doing the work. I have my contractor. I want to continue to do this on my own. We want to provide that flexibility and that freedom for you to be able to do that. It's also an opportunity when a homeowner says, you know, I understand this is a federally funded program and there are certain limits on what is allowed cost-wise, but I may want to upgrade or do something different while I'm repairing my house. This is an opportunity to do that. And I'm willing to pay additional for that. Those homeowners that want that option, then solution two is for you. Every homeowner that goes through our program has a damage estimate. They are all the same, calculated the same, using the same pricing and material. But if a homeowner chooses to use a higher grade material than the program allows, you can do that. But you select solution two. You go hire your own contractor and you work directly with them. And as the work is done, the state then works to reimburse. And then that's really what the last solution is what we call solution three. It's our reimbursement solution. We recognize that the funding that comes from Congress often comes much later after the disaster, by the time it's appropriated into law and then allocated through HUD, homeowners have already done some work. This is an opportunity for us to go out and inspect that work at the time we do the damage estimate, and work that we can see that's been completed gives us an opportunity to do some reimbursement. And so again, encourage you, if that's your situation, that you're keeping that documentation, that you have that available, so that when you do apply, if it's needed, you can supply that to the program. This is a little bit about the process. I kind of mentioned it, but this is a great slide that just sort of walks you through what to expect. The first thing is you take a survey. That survey takes about 10 minutes. It's available for you to be able to do on a phone, on your computer, iPad. It's about 13 questions. It gives us some information. Again, we know the folks that are potentially eligible. And so when that survey goes online, you can rest assured you will be being alerted by the program. We plan to use the email addresses, the phone numbers you provided through with FEMA. We'll be text messaging. We'll be sending out emails, as well as our website will go live, and you can check that at restore.la.gov and see that the survey is online. Once a homeowner does a survey, because these are federal dollars, one of the processes and by law requirements are that we have to do an environmental review on the property. There's nothing that a homeowner has to do here. Typically, it's very, you don't even realize it's happening, that they don't have to come into your home. But there are people that will go out to the property and have to clear it environmentally. After that happens, it allows us then to invite the homeowner to come in and complete their formal application. Part of that formal application is giving some additional information than the survey, as well as it will be scheduling to have a inspector come out and do a damage and potentially lead-based paint assessment of the home. They'll come out, they're doing two things. One, they're walking through the house with you to see what work's been completed, what can be documented is being done as a result of the storm, as well as what needs to be done. That's called your repair or your rebuild estimate. And so that is going to be scheduled while you're getting your application in, and it's being reviewed for eligibility. Once those two steps take place, you then receive what is your award determination. You have the ability to look at that. You can ask questions about it. There's an appeal process, but for most homeowners, they move forward with accepting their award. They select their solution one or two, and you go to a grant execution where there are documents that you sign that explain very detailed the program and what's required. As you sign and execute those, then we move into the repair work beginning and the reimbursement taking place as progress is made on the home. A couple of things just to reiterate. I know it's always important to talk about what the program offers, but it's also just as important to be transparent and say, you know, what the program is not able to do. We're not able to, with this funding, able to serve those that have a FEMA determination of minor damage. When HUD looks at the data and they appropriate that money to all the different states, those homeowners that had minor damage as indicated by FEMA, they're not included in the allocation. And so that's really why the state has to focus on the major severe homeowners that apply and have that determination. That's really how the funding is allocated to the state and what's really available to the state to be able to help with these repairs. Homeowners that had adequate insurance to repair their homes. This program is not intended. We're not able to do duplication of benefits, a term probably many of you have heard. And so we encourage those homeowners that if they had insurance, they need to file a claim. It's important to look at your policy limits. If you don't think that you received enough and your policy limits were higher than what you received, then it's important to go back through the insurance process, asking for subsequent payments and such. Those are all things that we would look at as we do eligibility review that could prevents you from being able to move forward if we see that the homeowner has policies and they have coverage. You've got to first work with your insurance company. And then replacement of contents in the home. The funding that we receive and the regulations on it from HUD, it strictly is for the structure of the home, for repairs and replacement. It's also, just to reiterate, sometimes having to share this with homeowners, it is for damages related to the storm, not for any other things that may not have been working prior to the storm or need to be repaired or replaced. The funding that we receive is strictly tying it back to it was damaged as a result of the storm. Mentioned the survey. You can see here just some screenshots of how it would look so that you'll know what to expect and what to see when you are going to our website. Here's where you'll go on either your computer or your mobile phone. You'll have the ability to log on and to be able to take the survey. Those of you that have that major severe classification will receive notification from us. You'll be able to do the survey. If you don't have that classification, you'll immediately know that when you start the survey, and it will give you numbers and direct you to make contact with FEMA. For the public comment period, as I mentioned, not only today will we attempt to go through questions and help to address, maybe clarify different things about the program for you, but you still have the ability, and we encourage you to be able to share any feedback or comments you have. This shares a little bit of how you can do that several ways through email, mail, or even making a fax if you would prefer to go that method. All of this will be posted. Again, all the comments are submitted to HUD with our responses, as well as we have translations available to those of you that may need it. Okay, with that said, that really completes the presentation. You can see it's really focused on housing, on the one major program, the Restore Louisiana Homeowner Program. We're going to open it up now for questions, and we have some folks that will be reading those questions, and then I'll attempt to hopefully be able to answer them for you.
All right. So our first question, if a homeowner selects solution two and finds out that they lack the capacity to manage a construction project or they can't find any vendors, can they ask for solution one instead?
Yes, great question. So the way that works is typically if it's a solution two, we do, before the homeowner ever closes, one of the things is that we want them to get and show us that they have a contract. We do that for a couple of reasons. One, we want to help protect you and make sure that that contractor is licensed, that he's insured with the state of Louisiana. And so if you're not able to do that, and that happens, then you're able to switch and say, before even going to closing, you can switch and say that I'd rather the state do that. But by all means, if that's your desire and you want to try to attempt to do that, once you receive your award letter, you're able to do it. But if for some reason you can't, then yes, you would have the opportunity to switch to solution one prior to closing.
All right, our next question, when can we start the survey?
Another great question. So we are working on that and getting that where it'll be ready to go up online with the on our website. You should see that probably next month. Typically, again, Louisiana, unfortunately, we have these disasters all too often. So we're a little more proactive. Normally, you don't start anything until HUD approves the action plan, but we are going to try to get a jump start. And so be on the lookout. Again, you will receive information from us when that survey is online, but more than likely next month.
Okay, our next question. Do you know if the FEMA application is still open for people to apply?
I am not 100% positive, but we have heard that there was a deadline for applying, and that's closed. I understand that there is an appeal process. And so in talking to different people, obviously we're not FEMA, but in some of the conversations that we've had, they've encouraged us to tell our homeowners to make contact. Definitely, if you did fill out an application and have questions or need to appeal, to start and go through that process. So I would encourage you to do that now. That's why we provided the phone number, so that you can kind of, you can get a head start if you know that you're going to need this assistance and want to apply with Restore, to go through that process.
Okay. Do you assist with home elevation? If not, can you recommend a home elevation program for St. James Parish?
Great question. So the way that the Restore Louisiana program works is we do cover elevations whenever the jurisdiction requires elevation. So one, it has to be an eligible homeowner that's experienced damage. If we're not an elevation program per se, but if we have a home that has been damaged, and in order to pull permitting and to do the repair work, if the parish requires it to be elevated, then that project automatically is change from a repair, a rehabilitation, to a reconstruction, where we go out and build a new home. And in the process, we will elevate that new home to meet the elevation requirements of the local jurisdiction. That applies not only to the home, but if we have a manufactured housing unit, an MHU, we do replacements for most of our MHUs. The same thing. We're not going to go install an MHU and not have it elevated to the right height. We will elevate those, and that cost is covered within the program. If you're looking just for an elevation program, then I would encourage you maybe to reach out to your parishes. There are different parishes. I know Jefferson is one that they do have elevation programs. Typically, they're limited. They only receive so much money from FEMA or through HMGP on a yearly basis, but they do have lists that they keep up with and work to help out homeowners elevate.
Okay, next question. Will the Restore program do the same thing as they did for the previous hurricane with the voucher?
Okay, I'm not really following the question regarding the voucher. Restore program. If you're asking about interim housing, it wasn't really a voucher system. We did offer for our Solution One homeowners that were low to moderate income, especially where there was a reconstruction, so it was going to take some time to rebuild the house. We offered interim housing assistance, but that typically required the homeowner and gave them the flexibility to go find a place and get their own lease, and then we were reimbursing for that. So hope that answers it.
Our next question, why was it only $3,000 for Ida and now it's $8,000?
Okay, another good question. So the way that it works, it's always typically 8,000 is how HUD looks at the data when they do their allocation. So when we started the Restore program for Laura, Delta, and Ida, we did start it at 8,000, just like this. You can see that there was a significant amount more money that HUD allocated. And so after a long time period of doing the surveys and getting the data in, there was additional funding. The state's goal is to help as many people recover as possible, obviously not to send those funds back to the federal government, but to use them here in Louisiana for recovery. And so it was really based on, I'd say, several things, not 100% sure, but the timing. The money came much later with Laura, Delta, and Ida, and so we had less participants that were over that $8,000, which allowed us to lower the threshold. So that's not something that's off the table for this program, but with a very limited amount of funding, we are starting with the $8,000. And again, we'll have to make sure that those people have opportunity to apply and be served first before we could lower that threshold.
Okay, our next question. Are mobile homes replaced if there's significant damage to the structure?
Yes, that is the intent of the program. That's how we've run it in our Restore 2016 as well as our IDA program. Typically, it is not a good thing to try to repair a manufactured housing unit. Just sometimes difficult to do, number one, based on the age of them, supplies, and material. And so our goal is to help homeowners get into a more stable and suitable structure. And so we do offer replacement.
Okay. We have a follow-up question to the question about when the survey will open. And it says, so when will Restore open up for Francine? I do think that we answered that initially, but Jeff, I don't know if you want to just reiterate super quickly.
Sure. I would just say officially when the program opens officially, when we have an approved action plan from HUD and that they have signed off and entered into a grant agreement. And so that's based on timing. We anticipate submitting this action plan the 1st of April. HUD has 45 days to respond. So as the previous slides show, officially the earliest launch date would be May, which allows us to officially open the program.
Okay, we do have just one quick follow-up to the elevation question. If their parish does not offer an elevation program, is there someone who they can speak to?
I would push not, I would ask them to contact the parish. That's who they should discuss it with. The parish receives typically allocations every year to be able to decide how they're going to use that, if they're going to run an elevation program or a buyout program. And so it's something that's handled not so much at the state level, but at the local jurisdiction. So I would encourage them to reach out to their parish.
Okay, next question. If we have a mobile, so I think this is a follow-up to the response about replacing mobile homes. If we have a mobile home, is it not good to repair it?
That's hard to answer on an individual level because I'm not there and don't know the damages to it. So that's why we send out damage estimators that go out on site, and you'd be able to talk with them and they'd walk through and really look at the unit and see what's best and feasible for that.
Okay, we just got another question. Can an application still be filed if a homeowner is going through a FEMA appeal?
It won't be able to go through the survey, but anybody that wins a FEMA appeal, we do get that data periodically. So they would roll in. We would see the approval as well as they can contact us, but we get that information almost on a weekly basis. So once we see the appeal process and that the homeowner has won that appeal and is major severe, then they would automatically be able to complete the survey and go through application process with us, most definitely. So that's why we encourage you to start that now if you think you need to. But we will monitor that even as the program starts.
Okay, I do want to remind everyone if you have a specific question about your particular situation, we do encourage you to email info@restore-la.org, and we'll be more than happy to work with you one-on-one to answer your specific questions. Okay. Are there any additional questions?
want to know more about it, as Megan said, while it has not officially started, if you go to the restore.la.gov website, we're currently running this program for Laura Delta and Ida. Really, the policies and rules around the program aren't changing. So there is just a wealth of knowledge on that website. You have complete transparency and access to read those policies, as well as there's a lot of documents. Just to, some people ask about, how do I hire a contractor? What should I look for? There are flyers on there. There are sample contracts. So a lot of things that you could start to do that typically we wouldn't have up online, if not for the fact that we're currently working this program in a disaster. And so please take the time to look at that. I think you'll find it very valuable.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening.
Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate your time.